It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It is Monday, October 4th, 2021. I'm Shauna. Beckler is away today. I'll explain why right away. Okay, he decided yesterday that he needs to take the day off. He's fine. I always feel like every time we say that now we have to be clear. It's not COVID again. Because every time one of us takes time off, we always get messages. People are like, is it COVID? No. No, it is not. Do not worry. Something much more trivial than that. Let's just get into it. This will explain things for you as to where Beckler is today.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Beckler is away today. Actually, he's hungover. He actually called in hangover yesterday. I'm not even lying. He texted the boss and I, and he was like, I am outrageously hungover. I need to take tomorrow off. It makes sense. The Riders were in town, okay? A few too many Pilsner at the Rider game with all of his Saskatchewan brethren. It happens, you know? He saw his cousins who he hasn't seen in a while. He forgot how attractive he found them, got a little too excited, and he got into the drinks. And I don't even want to know what happened after that, okay? Just, that's between him and his cousins. Saskatchewan really should base their holidays, though, on the Rider schedule, I'm thinking. Like, the Monday following any big game really should just be a holiday. Even if it's a Saturday game, you need that extra day to recover from a Rider hangover. Or Rider hangover, rather. Rideover. There you go. That's a good term for it as well. I know this. I used to live in Regina. I experienced it. After any home game, I feel like it took a week to get back to normal. That's why I think Quebec has it right. They actually have 2 days of holidays after New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve happens. Then New Year's Day, of course, is a holiday. Everybody has that off. And then they actually have an official holiday called the day after New Year's on January 2nd. And everybody gets that off too. They literally give themselves 2 days to recover from New Year's celebrations. They get it. Okay. Saskatchewan should have the same thing after every Rider game day, maybe just home games or whatever it might be, but the day after Rider game day, okay, where everybody hangs out at home and they hug their cousins. Well, really hungover.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
I went to a wedding over the weekend in Toronto, so I actually flew both ways, and both flights I had chair lean back guy in front of me. Yeah, the guy who leans his chair back. Now, I am fairly small, so I don't know if they take one look behind them. They're like, oh, she can handle it. Thing is, my legs are still quite long, so I still get folded up like a pretzel if you do that. I have to admit, though, it was a few years ago on this very radio program that we discussed leaning your chair back. And before that, I would occasionally do it. And then I had a lot of you saying, you know how hard it is for somebody who is 6 feet, who already has no leg room to deal with chair lean back guy or gal, and it's not fair. So I haven't done it since, and I totally understand. Like, it is ridiculous how much less leg room I feel like flights continually are getting as well. Like, the amount of leg room and the length between where your seat is and the person in front of you just continues to shrink. Even the aisles on new planes. I don't know if you've noticed this. The aisles are getting narrower. I've noticed that even average-sized flight attendants can barely get down the aisles anymore. I've seen quite a few flight attendants having to, like, awkwardly shimmy down the aisles, and they've got to maneuver the aisles a lot during those flights, so it's quite awkward, you know? Eventually, they're going to have to limit the size of the flight attendants even, I think. You know, you've got childbearing hips. Those aren't going to fit, so we're going to have to move to the next candidate. Like, they're going to have to enlist horse jockeys or something. You know, oh, 5'2", 80 pounds, soaking wet. You're perfect for this job. Oh, and by the way, we actually don't have bucket seats anymore either. That's prime real estate. Yeah. People now sit there. So your seat's actually in the overhead compartment bin. We'll shove you in there for takeoff and landing if that's okay. You'll fit. Don't worry. Maybe the next flight attendant uniform is going to be nice chaps and a jockey helmet. You know, you're not racing horses per se, but you're riding the zones of time through the sky, so that's close, right?
Good evening and welcome aboard flight 233 with service to Calgary. In aisle 2, we have jockey Schumacher riding refreshment cart number 12. If you'd like to place your bets, please press the call button above your head and have a great flight.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I went to get my bike repaired this weekend, and when I was in the shop, I overheard a couple of the shop employees, and they were talking about how I only heard part of it, but I guess they went to another bike shop and they witnessed somebody selling a guy the entirely wrong bike. This is what I was gathering. I guess this guy just wanted a casual bike to rip around town on, a commuter bike of sorts. And this shop told him to buy this obnoxious road bike. And according to these employees, it was a bike that he'll never need. It was basically too much bike for him. And the employees were furious. They were talking about how he's not going to have fun on that bike because it's just a little too much for him. And then they said, like, I'm so sad because it also means that this bike that would have been perfect for somebody else will now never find its true match. This is what they said. I was listening to all this and I was like, now that is romantic. Like, I had no idea that people had perfect bike matches, but according to these very passionate employees, they do. Like how in Harry Potter, you know, there's a very specific wand for each wizard. The wand essentially chooses you. Well, from what I was hearing in this bike shop, the same goes for bikes. Well, that is the sign of some amazingly passionate bike enthusiasts right there. I was so impressed. And now I want to find my bike match. Like, too bad there wasn't a sorting hat for that type of thing. Like in Harry Potter, you know, you put the hat on and it screams, Gryffindor! Although maybe for biking, it should be a pair of really tight bike shorts that you have to try on instead. You know, a tight pair of plum-smuggling spandex ones you got to shimmy up and put on and squeeze your bait and tackle into there. And then the minute you do, Cannondale! That is the bike for you. You have to hold a wand and cast a spell while all that's happening. Squeezimus, desnutsimus. And all of a sudden, this bike just appears beneath your undercarriage and you ride off into the sunset on it. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
A friend of mine got married over the weekend and she was asking me, she goes, do you tip the officiant of the wedding? And I was like, yeah, I suppose you would, right? Like, it's a service they're offering. It was a quick ceremony, really. He was only there for about an hour, but I was like, I don't know, I'd maybe give him an extra 20 or 40 bucks, I guess. And then I looked it up, and I was reading this article about all the tips that you should give to different people involved in your wedding. And first off, they said you should donate between $100 and $300 to the institution if it's a religious officiant. $300, like, on top of the fee that you're charging, that seems, as a tip, they said if it's non-religious, tip between 50 and 100. Even that seems crazy. $100 tip for the officiant? What? They then said that you should tip the DJ 20%. They said the band members each should get 25 to 50 bucks of a tip on top of their fee. Delivery staff should all get between $5 and $20 a person for anybody who is just delivering something to the venue. The DJ, 20%. I said the coat room attendants should get a buck or two per person attending the wedding. Holy Hannah, that is a lot of additional cost added on to an already outrageously expensive day to me. Like, do you seriously have to tip every delivery person 20 bucks just for dropping something off the venue? And the band, you tip them another 25 to 50 bucks per band member? Like, who's deciding these things? That honestly seems absolutely outrageous. Like, that is thousands of additional dollars that you are spending just to tip everybody who you're already paying. You know, like, that seems a wee bit crazy. Also, when it comes to tipping the officiant, like, does that tip just go to God? You know what I mean? Like, are you tipping God in that case if it's a religious ceremony? And in that case, could I just cut the middleman out and save myself some money and directly donate to God rather than giving the officiant the money to pass along to him? I'm just curious. I'm always looking on ways to save, you know? Weddings are expensive.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So I'm on this local buy and sell page, and somebody posted a bunch of transit bus seats for sale recently. Used Calgary transit bus seats. So I guess this person bought an old transit bus and transformed it into an RV, essentially. So they took out all the seats and now they're trying to sell them. You know what I don't really want to buy is used transit seats. Like, there is no amount of cleaning or bleach or straight acid that you could toss on those things to get them to a level of clean that I would be satisfied with. I mean, honestly, even retrofitting an old transit bus, like, I mean, that is an ambitious project right there. I'm not sure what kind of cleaning you're doing there, but good for you. Although I do suppose that you could have quite the hood party with those transit seats if you bought them and you tossed them all in your front yard. You know, along with the third row of your old van and probably a weight bench out there. You could have a full-out adult jungle gym out there. I actually lived in a super sketchy house in Regina when I lived there, and we used to have these massive pallet fires, and, you know, we'd play lawn darts and do everything else unsafe. I would have actually killed for those transit seats back then. That's a luxurious patio set in the hood. Although our lawn furniture never really lasted that long. It either got stolen or someone could get a little too drunk on pill and then decide that the Patio furniture itself was probably worthy of burning. Those transit seats, though, man, like, even still, I can literally smell the picture from here. Like, you take one look at a transit seat and you can already smell it, right? It's a mixture of BO, definitely some urine in there, mixed with 20 years of ground-in farts. Like, nothing. No amount of clean is going to fix that.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Here's a question for you. Do they ever actually clean transit seats? Like, do they ever actually go and do a real good cleaning of transit as a whole? What about movie theater seats? Especially those plush ones, you know, the extra plushy, comfortable seat. Do they actually go and, like, really steam clean things? Or do they just have the kids who sweep up the popcorn afterward and that's about it? I don't know if I actually even want the real answer to this. So if you work at one of those places, maybe reach out or maybe not. I don't know. But I've never once seen or, like, smelled the cleanness of maybe a newly cleaned theater. So I'm just wondering how often that happens, if it does or not. You know, at that point, you should maybe just have, like, a mist of disinfectant that just sprays all over the theater. I mean, when you're a kid, the things that you do in those theaters is a little bit creepy. Although I never really did anything outside of just making out. Really, it's just all about the macking. You know, it's macking on each other in the theaters. You don't want to do it in your parents' basement. You go to the theaters and do it there instead. That's the way you do it. Some people go a little further than that, though, and thinking about that gives me nightmares. And is why I'm asking how much we clean those things, really. I mean, during COVID times, you'd think it would be a lot more, too, though. That's the one nice thing about this, right, is that everything is cleaner than it's ever been. One plus, maybe. There aren't many of them, but that maybe is a plus of this pandemic. Everything is sparkling clean. Just very, very clean.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was watching this old clip about Hacky Sack on the weekend. We were chatting about Hacky Sack last week. Actually, how the real name for it, the generic term, is foot bag, not Hacky Sack. I only knew it as a Hacky Sack, though. Anyway, I found this news reporter from the 80s talking about this newfangled trend. And the clip is hilarious. But what I noticed most was the reporter's voice. It's this old-timey lady reporter voice. It's a distinct-sounding voice from that time period, too, and I can't nail down what it is that's different exactly, just her inflection and the way she speaks. It's old-timey lady reporter voice. A lot of actresses, in fact, back then had this similar sound as well. And I'm not sure what it is that's different, but just to have a listen, you'll hear it.
Hacky Sack is a brand name. The generic word is footbag, and there's all kinds of them on the market. This crocheted one is called a granny bag, and the black one with the studs is for punkers.
Also hilarious, punkers. Yes, the black one with the studs is for punkers. But do you know what I mean? There's something about the inflection that she has. There's something about that voice that just sounds very, I don't know, 80s to me. It's just a different way of speaking.
The generic word is footbag, and there's all kinds of them on the market.
The generic word is footbag, and there's all kinds of them on the market. I don't know what it is that's changed in the way we speak or what makes this so distinctive to me, but it's old-timey lady reporter voice right there.
And the black one with the studs is for punkers.
And the black one with the studs is for punkers. Oh, those dirty punkers. I'm bringing that phrase back as well. Hey, you punker! Get out of here.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So the hottest buzz on the weekend, everybody was talking about how Skittles are now changing the flavor of the green Skittle from green apple back to lime. For some reason, everybody's pretty damn excited about that. But I was thinking and I was like, why? Lime flavor does not sound in the least bit appealing to me. Like, we don't bite into limes for fun normally. So why would lime flavor be what we want? You know, on the contrary, we do eat green apples. They're delicious. So why would you change the flavor away from something we actually enjoy eating to something that we use as a garnish? I don't, like, this is just another case of nostalgia. People are only excited about this because they remember the time that lime was a flavor when they were a kid, and now they're nostalgic for being a kid again. It's like this whole Zeller's craze. Everybody was so damn excited about that Zeller's pop-up store because of the nostalgia, but Beckler and I were talking about how Zeller's wasn't really all that great. Like, it was kind of dark and dreary in there. Everybody was talking about the diner where there was no windows. Like, the whole place was a little bit scary, not to mention the quality wasn't great. It was more about nostalgia, not that Zeller's was actually good. Nostalgia is a weird thing that way, because we act as if we miss these things, but then when you really think about it, no, you don't. It just reminds you of being a kid, and that's what you miss. We should bring chicken pox back next. Let's bring back smoking sections in restaurants. Everybody remembers the smell of darts in all the restaurants as a kid. Let's go and relive that. That's good. I know it's secondhand smoke, but it reminds me of being a kid. Yeah, give me the smoking section, please. I don't smoke. I just want to inhale that nostalgia, man. Yeah.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
It's officially Spooktober. And during this month, Beckler and I like to get your scary stories, and we like to tell them. So if you have ones, please let us know. You can email, you can text us on the text line at 238X929. You can get a hold of us in any way you'd like. If you do have a spooky story that you'd like us to tell, or if you'd like to tell yourself, that's awesome. I've got a quick one here for you today. Creepy as all hell, though, so let's get right into her. Got the spooky music here and everything. Okay. I grew up in New Mexico and was always very into the outdoors, hiking, camping, rock climbing, etc. One summer when I was 19, I went on a 4-day, 3-night camping trip near my parents' house, but I went on my own. This might sound weird, but I'd been in this area many times, and it was quite safe, so I decided to go alone. Anyway, I brought my camera and took lots of pictures. When I came back and developed my film, there were 3 extra pictures that I didn't take of me sleeping, 1 from each night. None of my stuff was missing or stolen, and nothing happened, but it freaked me right out. Holy crap! Can you imagine that? Coming back from a solo camping trip and on your own camera is pictures of you sleeping. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. Yeah, that again, quick and dirty, but holy crap, is that terrifying. Ooh. Spooktober, man. Gets me every time.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Rickler and I have talked before about how Canada's national identity seems to be a bit too closely tied to Tim Hortons. Now, I love Tim Hortons, don't get me wrong. I get my coffee there every morning, but really, like, Tim Hortons has nothing to do with what we are as a country. So the fact that people really associate us with that, I understand. You maybe want to get away from that a little bit. But it got me thinking about other countries and what brand would define them. Like, if each country was defined by their most important or most popular brand, what would it be? Like, Sweden would probably be IKEA, no? Switzerland, maybe Toblerone. Ireland, maybe Guinness or Jameson's. I mean, their identity is closely tied to booze, it seems, which, I mean, that's all right. Germany, maybe Volkswagen. I can't even say Volkswagen without putting that German stank on it because of those commercials. They're so ingrained. So maybe that. Italy, would it be Italian sports cars, luxury brands like, you know, Ferrari, probably. Maserati, it's pretty damn badass. And all of those are, I mean, they're cool brands. There's nothing really wrong from, you know, being identified as that. And then I was thinking about the U.S., and about what the U.S.'s brand would be. And I was thinking it would probably be Walmart, right? Like, they are a massive, massive global brand. So the U.S. would be defined by Walmart. I was thinking that, or maybe McDonald's. Actually, you know what it is? It is a McDonald's inside a Walmart. That would be the brand that defined the U.S. is a Walmart McDonald's. You know, when you compare that to all the other ones, that's a little bit embarrassing. Like, don't remember, again, Walmart, McDonald's, great, but that is essentially what defines that country. Always low prices, though. And smiles are free. America.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I'm watching that series Squid Game right now on Netflix, and the voices in that movie are dubbed. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet. Really good, by the way, if you haven't. Holy crap, is it intense. But it's Korean, so they have English voices dubbed over. I have to be honest with you, though. Like, the show is great, absolutely, but I really struggle with overdubbing. I think I'd actually prefer subtitles. First off, the dub voices are never as carefully selected as the actors themselves, right? So I almost feel like it cheeses up the movie or the series a little bit. Like Money Heist, another great series, supposed to be awesome. I started watching it, and I actually gave up because, again, I couldn't suspend my disbelief. It's so much harder to kind of get into the moment when you see the facial expressions and the stuff these actors are doing, and then you see the voices, and I'm always like, that doesn't really fit. You know, it constantly kind of takes me out of that believability. And I don't know if I'm just reading too much into it, but just one of those constant things that I don't know if I can get past. Also, there's one girl in the series who, well, her dubbed voice, she's got a bit of a screech voice on her. So every time she talks, it's more like, hey! It's a little bit of a screech in your eardrum all the time. And that one, I'm like, could you please just settle down? That's a little too much, okay?
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Learned over the weekend that you can order condoms on Skip the Dishes. Did you know this? Am I the last person to discover this? What a time to be alive. You know, you can order your late night bacon double cheeseburgers with a side of pickle pouches. That is phenomenal news for everybody. That is so much easier, though, than having to go to the drugstore and buy them yourself, too. Like when you're younger, especially. I still get awkward thinking about that. I'm still awkward about buying anything that's even semi-personal at the drugstore, whether it's, you know, related to the old horizontal hula or even just lady products. That I don't know why. We're just taught to be so hush-hush in this country about all that stuff. And when you think about it, like, why? Everybody dances the old goat's jig. A little hibbity-dibbity, a little bit of doodle-bop, and everybody looks for a little bit of change in the couch cushions. Little whack-a-mole, hide the cannoli, jar the pickle, to venture into the cave of wonders. I don't see why we have to be so embarrassed by it. Everybody does little house of water, you know? It's a natural thing.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.